Father, we do just come before you today, and we thank you for your Shabbat, for your time of rest, time of drawing away. We do ask that you would search inside of us to see, is there any wicked way within me? Is there anything that saddens you? Father, not just what is lawful, but what is expedient, what is good, what is necessary. Father, that even the appearance of evil wouldn't be found within us. Father, may we truly be that light set on the hill. May we lift you up to those who are seeking, to those who are looking, to those who are crying out, that they may have hope and that they may have an answer. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit's saying and wisdom for the days ahead. Amen. Welcome to those who are joining us by broadcast or by video or by podcast. Just as we start today in our country, I believe, is in crisis. Let me just start and say that, you know, Black Lives Matter. As a little child, I was taught Jesus loved the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Though that's not straight from scripture, I believe that song is his heart, and not just that he loves the little children of the world. I think he loves the big children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, because the scripture says, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. But scripture teaches us that all life is precious. He died for all. And there is no doubt that when a law enforcement officer kneels on someone's neck for an extended period of time, and even after the person has passed out, that he has crossed the line. That it is wrong. But there's also no doubt that rioting, looting, beating up store clerks, shooting back at law enforcement officers, throwing projectiles is also wrong. And another thing I was taught as a child is that two wrongs don't make a right. And scripture says, I cannot stand against lawlessness by committing acts of lawlessness. If I have to stand, I have to stand on righteousness, stand on a sure foundation, stand on the solid rock. I can't stand on popular opinion, I can't stand on my emotion. I have to stand on His Word. And if that's not my basis, if that is not our agreement together, then we're not going to have unity. We're not going to have peace. He is the Prince of Peace. But if I go with the Prince of this world, then I'm going to have anger, I'm going to have hate, I'm going to have destruction. It is Hasatan that goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And if I'm going in that spirit of kill, steal, and destroy, then I'm not going in the Prince of Peace. And to stand with those who are going in that spirit, well, I think I'm on dangerous ground. The scripture says to come out of her, my people, that I partake not of her plagues and her sins. And it's interesting to me today, the Torah portion that we're reading, and we'll get into that in a minute, and what it says, and regardless of what I feel, regardless of what media says, regardless of what my fellow believers say, I'm bound by His word and what He says. So let's open to Exodus 22. Starting in verse 25, if you recall, the last week or two, Moses and the children of Israel arrived at Sinai. We celebrated Shavuot last week, the giving of the Ten Commandments. And then he began to explain those Ten Commandments, give us his right rulings, how we should treat each other, how we should treat other people's property, how we're going to interact to have a just and fair society. Now we have people today calling to have a just and fair society, but yet they're not calling a return to scripture that tells us how to have a just and fair society. Many are saying, well, it's systemic. Well, how do you get rid of something that is systemic?
Get rid of the system.
The only way to do that is get rid of the system. We have to realize what some are advocating for when they say that. And what system are they trying to get rid of? The system that tells me that I was endowed by my Creator with certain unalienable rights. Because that is the system our country was founded on. Now, if we have strayed from that, then absolutely we need to be returned to that. But then that's not a systemic problem. That's a problem that we have strayed from our origins. We have strayed from our Creator and what He wants from us. And they are in the midst of getting rid of our Constitution. The Supreme Court ruled last week that California was within their rights to shut down religious services for the protection of the people, the state, because of the COVID-19 closures, while at the same time allowing stores and other places that were essential to remain open. 5-4 decision, with Chief Justice Roberts citing with the liberal judges saying, yes, California had the right to shut down religious services. We are on the brink, literally, of seeing a fundamental change in society. But should that shock us, since we have seen a fundamental change and the church over the past decades, over the past centuries, where we say that all scripture is given by inspiration, that all scripture is His word, but yet then we say most of it doesn't apply. We say He's the God that changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, except for everything changed after Christ. We read where he says, I came not to do away with the law, and then we proclaim that he did away with the law. Then is it any wonder why those outside of the church have no idea how to handle the law, have no idea how to respect the law, have no constraint? Because Scripture says when the priests don't teach the people properly, they cast off restraint. We're literally seeing Scripture fulfilled, because his word will not return void. His word is true. Whether we believe it, whether we want it, whether we follow it, his right rulings, his laws, his ways are immutable. They hold the fabric of the universe together. With his word, he breathed the earth into existence. With his word, he created everything we see. Then how much more are his words immutable when he says, these are my right rulings, these are for the generations, these are forevermore. We stopped last week with what should you do if you find another's property and how you should treat it. And it sure is different from the way most have been treating people's property this last week. I am grateful that we have the right to assembly, the right to protest, but you cannot say that it is a peaceful protest when pallets of bricks are staged along the route, when bats and pieces of iron and rocks are available along the way. That is planned violence, not planned peace. And those who stand with planned violence aren't there for a peaceful protest. If they're there for a peaceful protest, then they need to turn those over to law who aren't being peaceful. Root it out. The same way police should root out the corruption in their forces, protesters should root out the corruption in their forces. The things that we want in society, we must be willing to do. And in the same way, the church needs to root out the corruption in her forces. Those among us who are not true believers, those among us who are not true ministers, those who abuse their power, their office, their privilege, need to be called, need to be accounted, need to be shamed, need to be put out. But if we are going to have an equal society, where man is not just created equal, but treated equal. And not just equal under the law, but fairly treated under the law, then it has to start with each and every one of us. I cannot call for you to act in one way, yet me act in another, until you act the way I want you to act. It's lunacy. And so we all need to act every day. As the scripture says, treat others as you would have them treat you. And again, if we would follow scripture, then we would see an end to much of our conflict. Because he would fight for us. He would make a way where there seems to be no way. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers and principalities, evil spirits in high places. And we'll never root those out by using the enemy's tactics. Verse 25, if you do lend silver to any of my people, the poor among you, you are not to be like one that lends on interest to him. Do not lay interest on him. If you take your neighbor's garment as a pledge at all, you are to return it to him before the sun goes down. For that is the only covering, it is his garment for his skin. What does he sleep in? And it shall be that when he cries to me, I shall hear, for I show favor. Do not revile an Elohim, nor curse a ruler of your people. Perhaps that's one people should hear today. Do not delay giving your harvest and your vintage. Give me the firstborn of your sons. Likewise, you are to do with your oxen, with your sheep. It is to be with its mother 7 days. On the eighth day, you give it to me. And you are set apart men to me. You do not eat any meat which is torn to pieces in the field. You throw it to the dogs. And let's look at chapter 23 in these first couple of verses. Do not bring a false report. Have we had any false reporting in the last few days? Did not part of this problem start with a false report? But yet, we cannot rail against a false report by continuing to give more false reports. Do not put your hand with the wrong to be a malicious witness. Do not follow a crowd to do evil, nor bear witness in a strife so as to turn aside after many, to turn aside what is right. And if you call yourself a Christian and you say that you follow scripture, and especially if you're Torah observant, I've seen many this week who claim that, then follow Torah. Follow his word. I'm not to be with a crowd to follow them to do evil. I'm not to stand with them and bear witness in a strife, to turn aside after many. To turn aside what is right. It doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter what others say. It doesn't matter what's politically correct. It matters what is his way. Because his way is the one that leads to life. And if my concern is life, for every one of my neighbors, for every one of our citizens, for every human being on earth, then his way is the only way that leads to life. if it's not his way, it leads to death. It leads to destruction. How am I going to be a champion for life by following ways that bring death and destruction? We need to check our hearts. We need to check our minds. We need to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we need to study to show ourselves approved, so that in this day I can stand on the side of righteousness. That I can stand in the evil times and be that light, that beacon set on the hill. Because many during these days need a word of hope. Many in this time are cast about in the seas and the billows and the waves, and they need a lifeline. They need a hand. They need a word. But if that foundation is based upon the sand, oh, the house may look pretty, but during these stormy times, it's not going to stand. It has to be on the rock. It has to be founded on the Word, and the Word that became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And He is to be my only foundation. And His way is to be the way that I walk. Without it, there is no hope. And we are all lost. Do not favor a poor man in his strife. When you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall certainly return it to him. When you see the donkey of him who hates you lying under its burden, you shall refrain from leaving it to him. You shall certainly help him. Do not turn aside the right ruling of your poor in his strife. Now today, perhaps I don't see the donkey of my enemy. But if I see the vehicle of my enemy, I'm to care for it as it was my own. Not bash it, not trash it, not hit it. And I'm not supposed to favor a poor man for or against in his time, because that's not my basis of justice. That's not my basis of righteousness. My basis is His Word, His right rulings, His ways. So that it's not my basis, or not even the way I feel, or not who I think deserves it the most. But that it's based off of truth. I know this may not be popular. But it's life. It's truth. It's freedom. We're in the midst of a fight for our souls, for the soul of our country, our world, and an enemy that seeks to kill, steal, and destroy, that seeks to come and deceive, that appears as an angel of light, that uses scripture, that uses half-truths to twist, to try to get you to disobey, to get off of the straight and narrow path, to get off of the way that leads to life. And he doesn't really care which ditch you get in. Either side is fine with him, as long as you're in that broad way that leads to destruction. Keep yourself far from a false matter. And do not kill the innocent and the righteous, for I do not declare the wrong right. I didn't choose to read this today. This was already our Torah portion for such as time as this. These things have not taken him by surprise. He is not off of his throne because of the senseless actions of a policeman, nor the senseless reaction of many afterwards. His words are still true, and he told us a way long before this situation. And if we will follow his ways, we'll come through to the other side. If we will stand on his word, we have solid foundation. But we have that choice. Just as Israel said, "Oh, everything you said, we hear and we obey." And yet they didn't, and they lost their nation. Went away into captivity. The 10 tribes were even taken and dispersed among the nations. We have that choice as a country now, as a people now, as individual churches now. Will we stand on his word? Or will we be taken away? Will we go into captivity? Will we see defeat? Because the only victory in Jesus is being in Jesus, his way. And he already said, "I came not to do my will, but the will of my Father who sent me." Do not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the seeing one and twists the words of the righteous. Do not oppress a sojourner, as you yourselves know the heart of a sojourner, because you were sojourners in the land of Mitzrayim, and for 6 years you are to sow your land and shall gather its increase. For the seventh year you are to let it rest. You shall leave it, and the poor of your people shall eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field eat. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive yard. 6 days you are to do your work, and on the seventh day you rest, in order that your ox and your donkey might rest, the son of your female servant and the sojourner be refreshed. And in all that I have said to you, take heed and make no mention of the name of other mighty ones. Let it not be heard from your mouth. So now he goes into how we are to act with our work, with our labor, with our resources, how we are to trust him and to prove him, it says in others. Will we obey? Will we rest? Will we trust that he'll provide in the 6th year enough to get through the 7th year? Is my hope and my faith in his way, or in the way everyone else does it? The same in this situation. Is my hope in his way, or in the way the crowds are doing? In the way others are doing? Am I going to stand on his word, or do I need a stamp of approval from society, from social media, to show that I'm in unity? And who am I joining myself with? Am I being unequally yoked? Am I joining myself to his kingdom, that I may see his will be done, his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? Those are the choices we have before us today. And absolutely, if you are refusing to stand, you are making a choice. But as Joshua said, you better choose this day whom you will serve. Lines are being drawn in the sand, in the streets, in our nation. And people are making choices by what they do. I don't think it was by coincidence, the timing of these things. Again, we have had the signs in the heavens and continue to. Last night being the strawberry moon. Things that are coming up in the next few weeks and months. The timing even of these riots. Right after everyone was pretty much let go of all responsibilities they had, so they were home. But then everybody was broke, so let's send them a stimulus check. So now everybody has a little money and a lot of time on their hands. What does Scripture say about idle hands?
That won't work, no.
And now we see people with time and money and nothing to do, pent up, not allowed to get out, not allowed to be with each other. I can't gather with 9 other people to worship God, but I can gather with 4,000 other people to protest. Well, I don't think this timing is coincidental. I don't think any of the things we have seen have been coincidental. Because the enemy has long sought the downfall of this nation. Because we dared to say we are one nation under God. But yet we're living less and less like one nation. And we're living less and less like under God. Are we about to lose it? Three times in the year you're to celebrate a festival to me, guard the festival of Matzah. 7 days you're to eat unleavened bread as I commanded you. At the appointed time and the new moon of Abib, for in it you came out of Mitzrayim. And do not appear before me empty-handed. In the festival of the harvest, Shavuot, we just celebrated the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the festival of the ingathering, Sukkot, at the outgoing of the year. When you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field 3 times in the year, all your males are to appear before the Master Yahuwah. Excuse me. Do not slaughter the blood of my slaughtering with leavened bread. And the fat of my festival shall not remain until morning. Bring the first of the first fruits of your land into the house of Yah, your Elohim. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. See, I am sending a messenger before you to guard you in the way, and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Be on guard before him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he is not going to pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you diligently obey his voice and shall do all that I speak, then I shall be an enemy to your enemies and a distressor to those who distress you. There is our hope. There is our path forward. There is our way to see a fair and just society. When we will diligently obey him and do all that he speaks, he will take up our cause. He will be an enemy to our enemies and a distressor to those who distress me. For my messenger shall go before you, shall bring You end to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I shall cut them off. Do not bow down to their mighty ones, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but without fail overthrow them, and without fail break down their pillars. You shall serve Yah your Elohim, and he shall bless your bread and your water. And I shall remove sickness from your midst. Do we have sickness in our midst? Perhaps we have not been serving you. None shall miscarry or be barren in your land. I shall fill the number of your days. I shall send my fear before you and shall cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and make all your enemies turn their backs to you. I shall send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before you. I shall not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become a waste, and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little I drive them out from before you, until you have increased and you inherit the land. I shall set your border from the Sea of Reeds to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the river to the wilderness to the river. For I shall give the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. Do not make a covenant with them, nor with their mighty ones. Let them not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me when you serve their mighty ones, when it becomes a snare to you. I'm grateful that our president has been one of the staunchest allies of Israel of any president we've had. I'm grateful that he moved our embassy to Jerusalem and recognized it as the capital of Israel. But when you put forth a peace plan that sees Israel divided, Jerusalem divided, and its enemies living in the land, it is doomed to fail. When you have a peace plan that does not follow Scripture, it is not a plan for peace, but a plan for destruction. And look at what has happened to our country in the last few months since the peace plan was announced. We need to repent and as a church stand for the biblical borders of Israel and for what Yah has declared. Not the popular view, not the politically correct view. But the only way we will have peace on earth, goodwill to men, is to obey Yah's voice and do all that he says so that he will go before us. To Moshe he said, come up to Yah, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and ye shall bow yourselves from a distance. But Moshe shall draw near to Yah by himself, and let them not draw near, nor let the people go up with him. And Moshe came and related to the people all the words of Yah, and all the right rulings, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which Yah has spoken, we shall do. Moshe wrote down all the words of Yah, and rose up early in the morning, and built a slaughter place at the foot of the mountain, and 12 standing columns for the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent young men of the children of Israel, and they offered ascending offerings and slaughterings of peace offerings to Yah of bulls. And Moshe took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the slaughter place. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that Yah has spoken, we shall do and obey. Moshe took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, see the blood of the covenant which Yah has made with you concerning all these words. And Moshe went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the Elohim of Israel, and under his feet, like a paved work of sapphire stone, and like the heavens for brightness. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the chiefs of the children of Israel. And they saw Elohim, and they ate and drank. And Yah said to Moshe, come up to me on the mountain and be there while I give you tablets of stone and the Torah and the command which I have written to teach them. And Moshe arose with his assistant, Yehoshua, and Moshe went up to the mountain of Elohim. Excuse me. He said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. And see, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has matters, let him go to them. And Moshe went up to the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain, and the steam of Yah dwelt on Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it for 6 days, and on the seventh day he called for Moshe out of the midst of the cloud. And the appearance of the steam of Yah was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain before the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moshe went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain, and it came to be that Moshe was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Do we not need a time where his fire will fall again? Where we have leaders that will hear his voice and will listen, and where his hand will not be against us and our elders. Instead, we have elders in our country speaking out and standing with many who are doing unrighteousness, who are railing against powers that are in power now, who are doing things the scripture says we should not do. If I stand with them, then I'm standing against him. We can look back through history and through the scriptures and see that any time nations stood against God, they did not last. You can look at all of the empires, and when they were filled with corruption, when they were filled with evil, when they were filled with sin, they all fell. We can sing God Bless America, but if we choose curses, we shouldn't expect blessings. If we continue to sin, the wages of sin is death. We truly need to repent, not just for the sin of the policeman, but for the sins of our people, for the sins of the church, for the sins of our leader, the sins of our nation. If there's any hope for our nation. Let's look at Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, 60 verse 1, for your light has come, and the steam of Yah has risen upon you. For look, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But Yah arises over you, and his esteem is seen upon you. All the nations shall come to your light, and sovereigns to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see, all of them have gathered. They have come to you, your sons from afar, and your daughters are supported on the side. Then you shall see and be bright, and your heart shall throb and swell, for the wealth of the sea is turned to you, the riches of the nations come to you. A stream of camels cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praises of Yah. All the flocks of Kedar are gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth serve you. They come up for acceptance on my slaughter place, and I embellish my esteemed house. Who are those who fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? Because the coastlands wait for me. the ship of Tarshish first, bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them to the name of Yah your Elohim, to the set-apart one of Israel, because he has adorned you. And the sons of foreigners shall build your walls, and their sovereigns serve you. For in my wrath I have stricken you, but in my delight I shall have compassion on you. Your gates shall be open continually, they do not shut day or night, to bring to you the wealth of the nations and their sovereigns in procession, for the nation and the rain that do not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly laid waste. The steam of Lebanon shall come to you, cypress pine and the box tree together, to embellish the place of my set-apart place, and I shall make the place of my feet esteemed. And the sons of those who afflicted you come bowing to you, and all those who despise you shall bow themselves at the soles of your feet. They shall call you City of Yah, Zion of the set-apart one of Israel. Instead of you being forsaken and hated so that no one passes through you, I shall make you an everlasting excellence, a joy of many generations. You shall suck the milk of the nations. You shall suckle the breast of sovereigns. You shall know that I, Yah, your Savior and your Redeemer, am the Mighty One of Yaakov. Instead of bronze, I bring gold. Instead of iron, I bring silver. And bronze instead of wood. And iron instead of stones. And I shall make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor ruin within your borders. And you shall call your walls deliverance and your gates praise. No longer is the sun your light by day, nor does the moon give light to you for brightness. But Yah shall be to you an everlasting light, and your Elohim your comeliness. No longer does your sun go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for Yah shall be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. All your people, all of them righteous, shall inherit the earth forever, a branch of my planting, a work of my hands to be adorned. The little shall become a thousand, and the small one a strong nation. I, Yah, shall hasten it in its time. That's his promise, if we'll do it his way. That's his promise if he becomes the enemy to our enemies and a distressor to those who distress us. He will come with healing in his wings. He will make it so that our officers are peace and our magistrates righteousness. He will make it so violence is no longer be heard in our land, nor wasting, nor ruin within our borders. It's his desire more than our desire. His desire is for us to prosper. His desire is for his people to be called by his name. For him to be our God. His desire was that when there was no way, because we were lost in our sin, he sent his only begotten son to make a way. But now that he has made a way, we have to choose to walk in it. We have to choose to accept Messiah's sacrifice, not just for my salvation, so that he can be my Savior, but that he can be my Lord and Savior. That he can be the one whom I listen to. That he can be the firstborn among many brethren so that I can call out Abba Father, even as he did. And then I can say, I did not do the will of myself, but of the one who bought me, the one who sent me. And that just as Yeshua lived, that I could live. Then wherever the feet of my soul shall tread, I shall have dominion. Because I no longer walk in my name, but in his name. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives inside of me. Then I can do all things through him who strengthens me. All things will have become new. He has made a way for us. Will we choose to hear and obey? Matthew 5. For those who may not have a Triennial Parashah reading, if you go to our website, go to the Torah portion, we try to post the readings on there so that you can see what we're doing each week. And you can see for yourself how it lines up so much with what is happening today. I believe the Father is speaking to us during this time and this day, because it is such an important time for the days ahead. Matthew 5:1, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. But when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his taught ones came to him, and having opened his mouth, he was teaching them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the reign of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, because they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, because they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they shall be filled. Blessed are the compassionate, because they shall obtain compassion. Blessed are the clean in heart, because they shall see Elohim. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those persecuted for righteousness' sake, not for foolery, because theirs is the reins of heaven. Blessed are you when they reproach and persecute you and falsely say every wicked word against you for my sake. Rejoice and be glad, because your reward in the heavens is great. For in this way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We have a choice. Do I want to be blessed? Do I want His blessing? Then am I going to do it His way or my way? Am I going to have compassion? Am I going to have a clean heart? Am I going to have a meek spirit? His words, not mine. Or I'm going to worry whether or not they speak out against me. Am I going to be more concerned how many likes I get? Whether I'm fact-checked or not? How many followers I have? Am I more concerned how others think of me than how he thinks of me? If something I do saddens him. You're the salt of the earth, but the salt becomes tasteless. How shall it be seasoned? For it is no longer of any use, but to be thrown out and to be trodden down by men. You're the light of the world. It is impossible for a city to be hidden on a mountain. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it shines to all those in the house. Let your light so shine before men, so that they see your good works and praise your Father in the heavens. Are our good works shining forth now? Do people see what's going on in our nation and praise the Father who's in heaven? Are we being salt? Not to be rubbed in an open wound, but to season our country, to preserve it, to season our communities, our society? Or have we lost our savor? Are we good for nothing but to be thrown out and trodden underfoot? Are we being a light set on a hill or hidden under a basket because of sinful actions? Do not think that I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to complete. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one yod or one tittle shall by no means pass from the Torah till all is done. Has heaven and earth passed away? Has all been done? Is everything accomplished? When we look at our society today, is it the model of thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Then according to Jesus, how much of the Torah has passed away?
None.
Then everything we read earlier today is still in effect. The way I should act, the way I should walk, the way I should believe, the way I should speak, the way I should stand in this moment is based on His word that is true forever. Whoever breaks then one of the least of these commands, what commands? The Torah. And teaches men so, calls for others to do it, shall be called least in the reign of heaven. Whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the reign of the heavens. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall by no means enter into the reigns of the heavens. Where do you want to be thought great? Are you looking for your 15 minutes of fame, for your YouTube channel, for your Facebook post, for your video? Are you looking for the camaraderie of the crowd? Or do we want to be thought great in the reign of heaven? We're looking to please our Father, our Savior, who gave His life so that I might have freedom. Are we looking to be set free from the chains of sin that so easily entangled us, and to set others free? Are we being entangled again to the things that had so easily beset us? We'll read in a few weeks when those came up against Moshe and Aaron and said, look, how come you just get to hear from God? Who put you in charge? And Yah told Moses to tell the people, come away from their tents, separate yourself from them. And the people had a choice. They either separated or they stayed near. Those who stayed near, whether they had spoken out against it or not, when the ground opened up, they were slaughtered. Be careful in this day what crowd you stand with. Be careful today whose side you are on. And make sure you are on the side of His righteousness. Not what I want His righteousness to be, what I say His righteousness is, but what His word declares. The scripture says, beware, in the last days they will call good evil and evil good. My basis is not the multitude. My basis is not democracy. My basis is not the powers that be. My basis is His word, His Son who died to set me free, and His Holy Spirit, His Ruach HaKodesh, who will come and lead me and teach me and guide me. So that I will not be deceived in the last days, and I will be able to endure until the end. Let's flip over to chapter 7. Pick it up down in verse 12. Therefore, whatever you wish men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the Torah and the prophets. Do you want your window smashed, your stuff stolen, your house trashed, your place set on fire? Do you want your friends, your family beaten? Nor do I want them knelt on the neck until they're dead. But I'll call all unrighteousness unrighteous, regardless of who does it, or when they do it, or why they do it. Sin is sin. Enter in, therefore, the narrow gate, because the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter in through it. Because the gate is narrow and the way is hard-pressed, which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Am I going to take the easy way or the way which seems hard-pressed? Am I taking the way with many or the way of the few? Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are savage wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Are grapes gathered for thorn bushes, or figs from thistle? So every good tree yields good fruit, but a rotten tree yields wicked fruit. A good tree is unable to yield wicked fruit, and a rotten tree to yield good fruit. Let me read that again. A good tree is unable to yield wicked fruit, and a rotten tree to yield good fruit. If I'm picking from a rotten tree, doesn't matter how many times I pick, I'll never get good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that says to me, Master, Master, shall enter into the reign of the heaven, but he who is doing the desire of my Father in the heavens. Many shall say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done mighty works in your name? And then I shall declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. These days our country is facing, are we standing with those who work lawlessness? Are we standing with those who seem to be in sheep's clothing but are inwardly savage wolves? Judging by their fruit. Are they bringing life, prosperity, peace, unity? Or do they leave a path of destruction, of death, of trash, things being set ablaze? As the very community they're marching through, better when they leave or worse? The people who are left there, are they uplifted Are they scared, tormented? No place to shop. Vehicles burned out. There's a way that seems right to man, Scripture says. But it is not his way. It is not the way. It is not that straight and narrow that leads to life. Then it will only lead to destruction. Father, forgive us where we have not heeded your word. Where we have said we will hear and obey, but we have neither heard nor obeyed. Forgive us where I've gone off of emotion, off of my sight, off of what others are doing. Forgive me where I have not stood for injustice and let anger build in the heart of my brother. Forgive me where I've not treated others as I would want to be treated. But Father, let me stand now, not just for the poor and downtrodden, but for every man. Let me, as Jesus did, love all men, red and yellow, black or white, that they are all precious in his sight. But let me also stand for truth, to come against wickedness in high places, but also wickedness in low places. Because Messiah, you came to save the world from sin. You died and you bled and you hung there for each and every transgression. And now you've made a way where there seems to be no way. Father, may we learn to hear, may we learn to guard your way, and may we do all that you speak so that you can be an enemy to our enemies. You can be a distressor to those who distress us. And you can come in, set our officers as officers of peace, our magistrates in righteousness. And you can be a light unto us so that the sun never sets, and the moon doesn't have to give its glow, but by your light, the nations can see and they can come in. Amen and amen. Shema.